I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. God, as we listen for your word in the midst of mine, give to us open ears, open minds, and open hearts, that we might gain the wisdom and the vision to look around us today and to look beyond us into tomorrow. Amen. If you were to ask me the thing that has caused me the most trouble in the midst of the past 15 months, I would have to say that it's been my vision. Now, I'm not referring to seeing the eye doctor or adjusting the prescription for my glasses, but what I mean is the vision, the perspective it has required to lead and live and really just exist during these trying days. I have made the observation several times that over the course of the pandemic, all of us were having to hold in balance two very different perspectives at the same time. In one hand, holding the big picture, the long term, the heavy stuff, the very real impact this pandemic was and is having on communities and individuals. Mental health crises, collective grief, how we will keep on keeping on, and maybe even learn and grow and move forward. And in the other hand, having, at times, mind-numbing but crucial conversations about the minutiae of safety and procedure. How many inches should be between us? What percentage alcohol should be in our hand sanitizers? Who has touched what and when? It all got pretty mind-boggling. When I was growing up, there was a ride at Hershey Park called the Scrambler. And it was one of those ones that sort of whipped you to the inside of the circle and then back out to the edges really quickly and with no sort of rhythm or warning. I think it's safe to say this year has been a scrambler. Zooming in, no pandemic pun intended, and getting real close, and then zooming out and taking it all in. Thankfully, things have settled down, and our vision has been able to focus a bit more in recent days. But there is still this sense that we are standing at a crossroads, in a time of transition and change, with a foot in two different places at the same time. A people desperate for and anxiously diving back into normal, but not really knowing what normal is anymore, and if we really even liked normal in the first place. In so many ways, we are holding in tension all that was, all that is, and all that will be. And while the road looks bright ahead, that's not an easy intersection to stand in. It comforts me to know that the feeling of having to hold in balance and in tension what was and what is and what will be is not a new feeling for us as humans, and in particular, as people of faith. Our words today from the Apostle Paul are similarly hopeful and disorienting, sweet and scrambling. For Paul, there is a growing excitement as the community of Christ in his midst continues to spread and gain momentum, but with that comes growing pains, the tensions of transition. His spirit is soaring and ever looking toward eternity, but he is also painfully aware of the temporary nature and fragility of life in human bodily form. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, Paul mentions the body seven times. And quite frankly, he uses pretty unflattering metaphors to describe it. Like a flimsy tent, a clay jar, a nakedness when we are exposed as unclothed. Life in the body, says Paul, is a time of trouble when we are away from the Lord. Paul is brutally realistic about life in the body. For him, life in the body is hard. As we have said before, Paul was not an armchair philosopher when it came to suffering and abuse and clenching onto hope like life depended on it. And I have to imagine that that took a toll on his body over the years and made him spend a lot more time focusing on the big picture stuff, looking ahead to eternal life rather than looking around at the life he had. As so many have told me, growing older is not for the faint of heart. So even though life in the flesh is, for Paul, a momentary affliction, one of those annoying bits of minutiae that we just have to deal with, I believe that Paul also knows that embodiment is kind of a big deal in our faith. A suffering Savior born into the world as a hungry, crying baby, and taken from this physical world as a crucified criminal. Body broken, blood poured out. It's what makes our faith real and tangible, and what makes God feel close, even in our most human moments. So it seems Paul also has his own kind of balancing act going on, reconciling the physical, housing the spiritual. The suffering giving way to rejoicing. But this passage, for me, transcends just this idea of body and spirit, physical life and eternal life. It's more about not taking things at face value, realizing that there is more than meets the eye, and the ever-present challenge of having feet in two worlds. Being present to what is, but not getting so lost in it that we lose sight of what will be. Our passage today is Paul taking that complex and contradictory reality of our faith and turning it into a sermon, a pep talk, a letter of encouragement. We are not giving up. How could we, Paul says in the Message translation of our passage. Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. There's far more here than meets the eye. We often read this passage of scripture at memorial services, where it serves not necessarily as a pep talk, but as a reminder to those grieving, that while we look around and are wholly present in the very real grief and sadness of the day, there is indeed more going on beneath the surface, more than meets the eye. Words that provide comfort and perspective and capture the complexity of loss as we, as people who hope differently because of the promises of our faith, hold in tension the bitter and the sweet, the finite and the forever, and seek to find its balance. This is not only the call of our entire zoomed out big picture lives of faith, but I believe, zoomed in, it's also the call we are faced with in the midst of these days. Each week when St. John's staff gathers for our meetings on Monday afternoons, either Sue or I begins with a word of centering prayer, and more often than not, each of us includes a prayer that as we discuss the small details, as we cross the T's and dot the I's, as we tend to the nitty-gritty and not-so-pretty stuff, we might never lose sight of the bigger picture, which is the work of the church, the heart and soul of the people, and the sharing of God's goodness and love. It's a perspective that is often hard to hold on to, not just for us as leaders, but for all of us. It's not easy to think big and small, to see the forest and the trees, to look around at where we are and ahead at where we're going. As we prepare to transition back to in-person worship, as we figure it out as we go, as we leave some things behind that have carried us through a challenging time, so that we can take up new things that will carry us forward as we try things and realize that they work or that they don't work like they used to, as we ease in and meet one another where we are, as we, individually and as a community, rejoice at what we have gained and lament what we have lost. Our prayers for perspective and balance continue and reflect those of Paul. That we not lose heart, that we not give up on one another, that we make room for the new life that God is creating in us and through us and for us, that not a day goes by when we don't see and give thanks for heaps of unfolding grace, and that we never lose sight of what is around us and what lies before us, because in both places, there is always more than meets the eye. I had to chuckle when I read our psalm for today, Psalm 130. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than church members wait to be together again. Okay, I may have added that last part. But we do know a thing or two about waiting, don't we? And we have heard a lot about the sustaining power of hope, haven't we? Following Christ means living excitedly and hopefully for the world that is to come, the kingdom of God and all the joy and glory that that will bring. But that doesn't mean we disregard that which God has put before us here and now. God's eternal tomorrow comes together from what happens in our today. Let's make today about caring for and considering one another, about opting for relationships over rightness. Let's make today about listening and learning and daring to do things differently and wrong. Let's make today about making mindful choices, not just making our point heard. As our wait feels like it's coming to an end, as our hopes feel like they are finally being heard and fulfilled, as we fix our eyes on what lies ahead, may we not lose sight of where we are now. May we not miss Christ meeting us where we are, even if we feel like we've got one foot in two different worlds. May we not miss Christ standing in the center of the scrambler, slowing us down, widening our vision, dwelling with us here, while continuing to lead us forward, one step at a time. Not a vision to trouble us, but a vision to transform. Amen.